In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and it shall be created. Let us pray. O God, it instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Granted by the same Spirit, we may be truly wise, never rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Father Lanteri.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius.
Pray for us.
Saint Michael.
Pray for us.
Saint Raphael.
Pray for us.
Saint Gabriel. All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
This is taken from the book of Exodus. See, I am sending an angel before you to guard you on the way and bring you to the place I have prepared. Be attentive to him and obey him. Do not rebel against him, for he will not forgive your sin. My authority is within him. If you obey him and carry out all I tell you, I will be an enemy to your enemies and a foe to your foes. My angel will go before you. The word of the Lord. Before reading the text of St. Faustina, to tell a short anecdote, and then we'll get into our text. Many years ago, when I was living in New York, and I was a child, maybe 7 or 8 years old, I was somewhat of a daredevil, the way I would play sports and throw rocks, and kind of a roughhouse type of kid. And I was driving down a very busy road, in which there was a crossroad in which there were cars coming in 4 different directions. And I was pedaling pretty fast, knowing that I was able to brake very quickly. And all of a sudden, as I got closer to the intersection, my brakes didn't work. So looked like it was the end of my life because there was a lot of traffic and they're moving really quick. And all of a sudden, my bike just stopped. And I think it was my guardian angel. I mean, I cannot prove that dogmatically, but I really believe that that was my guardian angel that saved my life. Because the brakes, they simply wouldn't work. And I was moving really fast. So as we celebrate the angels today, as well as on Tuesday or Monday, it's a good idea to renew our belief in the angels and also their power in our lives. I'd also like to give another proof for the existence of the angels. And some people who have been with me in the car will agree with this. I've been driving for about 48 years, something like that, 48 years. Never got in an accident. And I don't consider myself to be a very good driver. Amen or all me. I tend to go pretty quick. You know, my tendency is to move. Kind of like the way I'm wired. I do everything quick, no? And I really believe that it's God, through the angels, has prevented me from getting into, you know, an accident. Has it ever happened to you that you were about to get an accident and something happened in which you should have gotten the accident and it didn't happen? So I'm not the only one. So I really believe that the intercession of the angels is much more powerful than we're aware of. Or I'll throw something out even more serious. Maybe it's happened in our lives that we had made the decision to commit some type of sin. And that was thwarted. It was blocked. We want to do something that was wrong. It can be a million different things. Maybe stealing or doing something that we knew was wrong. And either the desire left us just like that. The bad desire evaporated, or maybe we're planning to do it and it was just blocked. So the fact that we planned to do it, there was already sin there, and you'd have to confess that anyway. But carrying out that sin would be compounded, so the guilt would be double. Could that be our guardian angel? Could that be our guardian angel? So I think it's a good idea to renew our faith, devotion, love, confidence in the angels, in our guardian angels. Renew that. A couple of stories of the saints. Padre Pio was once talking to his guardian angel, and someone said, "Who are you talking to?" "My guardian angel." And Padre Pio was talking, and the man said, you talk to your guardian angel?" "Yeah, I see him." "Yeah, I think it was a child." And Padre said, you don't see your guardian angel? Talk to him every day?" So as a child, he thought that everyone had this personal relationship with his guardian angel. He couldn't fathom how everyone in the world would not... I love the lives of the saints, man. I'm going to tell you another story. I could tell you story after story about the angels, no? That was my radio program on Radio Guadalupe. I say spoke about the angels. Not the angels that had a lousy season, but no, the angels that are... Francis de Sales. You've heard of him, Francis de Sales? He could actually see his guardian angel. I want all of you to pay attention to this because this is very important. When he was a lay person, he would see the guardian angel walk before him when he'd enter into a room. Once he was ordained a priest, the guardian angel would always wait and let him go first. So next time I'm walking close to the door, you better wait and let me go first. Otherwise I'm telling my guardian angel to do this to you. Or pull you back. Could happen. And I'm going to also tell you a trick, one of the tricks of the trades. We've got some catechism teachers here. Let me tell you a secret. This is what your friend Francis Xavier would do. He'd go into a town there in India, or Indonesia, or Japan, and he would, before preaching to the people, he would pray to their guardian angel. It works. Remember years ago, I had the mass at 10 o'clock, you got 1,000 people there. And I was going to talk on, I think, contraception or homosexuality, one of those tough topics. And I really prepared myself well because you got 1,000 people that are going to hear a very important moral topic. So I want to make sure that I really communicated it well. And my fear in these big masses is always, wah! 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 You know, crying babies, no? That was not Father Larry, no? Okay. So I asked the guardian angels of the babies to do this during my homily. Twenty-minute homily, couldn't hear a pin fall. After homily, wah! I knew that that was obviously guardian angels. You know, 1,000 people, at least, you know, 25 babies, being quiet for 20 minutes, that's a miracle. But the guardian angels were there just holding that mouth shut for the whole 20 minutes. We only knew the power of our angels. We would have more frequent recourse to them. Now, I think this is one of Dan's favorites, Gemma Galgani, the stigmatist. She actually had a vision of the guardian angel, and when he did not, she did not obey, he rebuked her sharply. Yeah? And that's the reading from Exodus. We don't want to resist God through the intervention of the angels. We don't want to do that. We don't want to resist. You know, I'm going to say something that might sound paradoxical, but the spiritual world is more real than the physical world. Maybe that's a shock to you. This is real. But my guardian angel here is more real than this desk. You got to have faith. You have to have faith. So, have a great love for the angels. Invoke the angels. And today the church celebrates three angels. Three archangels. And they're all biblical figures. You take Michael. If any of your or your children are expecting a baby, of all the male names, my oldest brother, I think he's got the best name. Better than my name. Can I tell you his name? His name is Michael Joseph. I mean, for me, there's only one name that might be better than that. It would be Joseph Michael, okay? Can you go beyond that? St. Joseph, St. Michael the Archangel, you got the two greatest, no? What a great name. Those were the days when parents would give their children two names. We didn't even have any Italian blood, but my parents would give us two names. When I baptized, sometimes you got these really weird names. Weird! Weirdito. I mean, really weird names. No? The Catechism of the Catholic Church says you got to give the child a Christian name. Another thing they do, they go to 99 cents and get the alphabet. And what they do, they... the first 12 letters. First 12 letters, just launch it out there. No? Is that the way it should be?
No.
Or like when a telenovela. No? Telenovela. So anyone who, any of you have a son or daughter, can have a child, you can't go wrong if you give them the name of an angel. Today I was giving a class, and one of the women was expecting her 7th child. Hopefully she'll have another 3. And she was asking me what name would I suggest. I said, is it a boy or a girl? Boy. So she said, well, I've already decided I would like to name him in Spanish Tobias. Tobias? English? Tobias. New Yorker called him Toby Boy. And I said, you know, give him a companion. Guess what she did? I said, call him Tobias Raphael. So his name is Tobias Raphael. What a beautiful name. The book of Tobias and the Archangel Raphael. And I think you, maybe you don't take this too seriously, but giving someone a name is important. You got a patron saint there. Got a patron saint there. So let's just take Michael. Michael comes from Hebrew, and who is like unto God? Now you can find Michael, Saint Michael the Angel, in 2 places in the Bible. Where you find him is going to be indicative of his specific function. He'll start with the least obvious. I even launched this at the table of the priests, and they were kind of thinking, I launched the question to the top theologians in Hawaiian Gardens. No? The priest table. No? I say, you guys, I'll give you a hint. It's one of the shortest letters in the Bible, and when you write down a specific verse from the Bible, you usually have, like, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. You've got the chapter and the verse. This is the only one we just have one verse. Not Revelation. Book of Jude. What? Okay, you didn't even know that there was, you didn't even know there was a letter to Jude. Probably none of you knew that, huh? Not Judas Iscariot, no? But the letter of Jude. It's only about 11 verses. You know what you encounter that in there? Something that is somewhat surprising. Saint Michael appears there. And Satan is about to steal the body of Moses. You don't believe me, do you? Well, check it out. He's about to steal the body of Moses, and Michael, the archangel, comes and says, may God rebuke you. There you have that prayer. Saint Michael, the archangel, defend us in battle, right? May God rebuke you. Leave the body of Moses in peace. Now, how on earth do you interpret that one? I'll give you my interpretation. Satan wants to rob our souls. The angels want us to be saved and to defend us. Amen? There's an interpretation for you. The devil wants to steal our souls. Steal them. Whereas the angels want to protect us. Another place we encounter would be in the book of Revelation, or Apocalypse, chapter 12. A woman clothed with the sun, with this moon under her feet, crown of 12 stars overhead. And there was a battle that broke out in heaven. And it was a battle between the angels, between the good angels and the bad angels. And Saint Michael, the prince of the heavenly hosts, who is like unto God? The good angels prevailed over the bad angels. And a third of the stars were precipitated into the abyss. A third of the stars. Who are the stars? The fallen stars. Who are the fallen stars? Okay, the bad angels. And Michael prevailed. In Ignatian exercises, all of you should be keenly aware of that passage. Because that's the meditation of the three sins. The sin of the angels, the sin of Adam and Eve. So let's take that. And talk about Saint Michael as the patron saint of various things. Number one, Saint Michael is the patron saint of soldiers. Yeah. Are any of you soldiers? How many of you are confirmed? Hey, we're all soldiers, right? So in a metaphorical, spiritual sense, we are also soldiers in the army of God, and Saint Michael is one of our five-star generals. Patton, huh? Yeah. We want him to be one of our generals. We're buck privates. Huh? He's a patient, also a fireman. Do you know that? With Saint Barbara also. He's also the patron saint of those who are tempted. Ever been tempted? Call upon Saint Michael. He's also the patron saint of exorcisms. So next time you go to an exorcism, and be going next week, pay more attention. Who does the exorcist invoke? The holy name of Jesus. The holy name of Mary. Saint Joseph, terror of demons, one of his titles, huh? Saint Benedict, with that medal that is so powerful. And who else? Saint Michael the Archangel is invoked to ring exorcisms. So there we have Michael. And I hope that you fortify your devotion to Saint Michael the Archangel. These three angels, I pray to them every day. I have a set time that I pray to them every day. When I'm walking from the rectory to say morning prayer, I pray to those angels. And a few other saints. The walk takes about 3 or 4 minutes. I pray to about 10 saints, but I always pray to those three. Saint Joseph, Michael, Raphael, Gabriel. Okay, let's take Raphael. He's the angelic doctor. Remember one occasion, there was a young girl that fainted in Mass. And she was coming out and very weak. And I said a fervent prayer to St. Raphael. She got better. I knew it was going to happen. And it wasn't me, but it was my faith. Because I really believe that St. Raphael is very powerful. But you got to believe. I'm probably the only one here who has devotion to St. Raphael. Maybe somebody who never even heard of him before. But hopefully, you're going to start to get to know him a little bit better. Surgeons. My brother, before doing surgery, he prays. I think surgeons should do that. They should. They don't want to botch it up. Allow the angels to guide their hands. And they will. So let's talk a little bit about this. It's a charming, heartwarming saint, angel. So Raphael means God heals or medicine of God. Choose whichever one you want. God heals or medicine of God. And you'll see why. Now he's in the Old Testament in what is called one of the wisdom books. The books of wisdom. In between Judith and Maccabees. Those short 16 chapters. Short chapters. What he does, through his intervention, he transforms two tragedies into huge victories. I repeat, enormous tragedies into incredible victories. Okay, the tragedies. First tragedy. Tobias lives with his son, we're going to call him Toby Jr., okay? So there's Tobias Sr. and Tobias Jr. And they sit down to have a meal. And it turned out there was a plague, which a lot of the Israelites were getting sick and dying. So Tobias gets up to bury a dead person. And he's working really hard, and he's so tired. Now, I've never understood how this could happen, but it did happen. He's so tired that he falls asleep standing up with his eyes open. I've been pretty tired. I've never done that yet, though. So he falls asleep with his leaning against the wall, and his eyes are open, he falls asleep, and these birds come flying over him. And they drop these little gifts, regalitos, no? So these two eyes are filled with bird dung. And this is not an aspersion on doctors. But the more these doctors try to heal the poor guy, the worse his eyes become. And he actually ends up blind. Poor guy, huh? Real tragedy. Imagine waking up tomorrow being blind. That's one tragedy. Then there's another tragedy that's even worse. Not too far away from their house, they have relatives, distant relatives, and Tobias has to go there to run an errand, but also for another purpose. But before explaining this purpose, I'll tell you what happens to someone in that house. There's a family that has a young daughter, her name is Sarah, and she wants to get married. So she marries the first guy. And that wedding night, before they consummate the marriage, Asmodeus. Now never think of naming one of your kids Asmodeus. Asmodeus is the name of one of the devils in the Bible. Not even Asmo. So Asmodeus comes in and kills the first husband. And she marries again, and the second night kills the second husband, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth. How many men would like to marry her the seventh time? And what has happened is that she has fallen into despair. So she decides she's going to climb the roof, got to get a halter, wrap it around her neck, and she's going to hang herself. Best way. But then she thinks, well, this would be an incredible shame on my parents. So I'm not going to do it. So what's happening now is Tobias is imploring God for help. Sarah is imploring God to help. God hears it, and he sends the archangel Raphael to solve these problems. So Toby Jr. doesn't know how to get to the house of his relative. So you've got a certain gratis uber service who's going to be the Archangel Raphael, if I can use modern terminology. Okay? So Raphael appears out of nowhere and appears to be a young, strong man and says, I will accompany you to your relative's house. Along the way, they're walking along the seashore and this fish pops out of the water. He says, get the liver of the fish. We're going to be using it later on. So he carves out the liver, and they're taking the liver, and they arrive at the house of Sarah. And Tobias Jr. asks the parents of Sarah for the hand of Sarah in marriage. They said, fine, let's sit down and have a nice meal. I want your daughter as my wife. So she's given to him. And they go in the room, and they don't have relations right away. And this is always the first reading I do in the Spanish weddings for the past 20 years. Because such a beautiful first reading. They kneel down, and they pray that God would bless them. God would bless their marriage. He says, we're not marrying because of lust, but because of a noble purpose. We want to form a good family. And that night, the marriage is consummated, and they start to form a very, very beautiful family. Now, why did Sarah lose the first seven husbands? The capital sin of lust. Hello? They didn't really love her. They lusted after her as an object. And God is showing his displeasure. And God is saying through that biblical passage, how many marriages end up on the rocks because of the capital sin of lust that's not resisted? Most. Most are rent asunder because of lust. There are other reasons too, economic reasons, lack of communication, but lust is one of the key reasons. Hugh Hefner, who died yesterday, right? I was watching that documentary of William Buckley, who had a wonderful conversation with him. Incredible. Trying to defend the philosophy of Christian marriage against narcissism, right? The sexual revolution. So there we have Raphael saving a woman from committing suicide and establishing a good marriage. But there's still another problem. Tobias Sr. is still blind as a bat, huh? Guess what happens? After they marry, Raphael says, let's go back to visit your father. So he goes back to visit the father, and the guy is blind as ever. And he says, what I want you to do is I want you to take the liver or the gall of that fish, and I want you to apply that to the eyes of your father. So there is the blind man, and he applies the gall of the fish to the eyes of the father, and scales fall from the eyes of the father. and the father is able to see. So there is Rayfield there, and they want to praise and worship Rayfield for his work. And what does he do? No. I'm an angel sent from God. Do not praise me. Rather, praise and thank God. All the honor and glory should be given to God. So the Archangel Raphael is instrumental in changing these incredible tragedies into glorious victories. Amen. So listen to all the different intentions or patronage that we can beg of Raphael. Are you listening? So I really believe if he becomes one of your friends, he can help you out a lot. First, he used to be St. Christopher. St. Raphael is the patron of travelers. In two senses. Traveling from here to Zacatecas or New York. But we are a pilgrim people. Where else are we heading? Where? As the song goes in Spanish, en pueblo peregrino caminando hacia la patria que nunca se acaba. Beautiful song, right? Caminando hacia la patria que nunca se acaba. Heading toward the country that has no end, right? Is that the way you translate it? Country that has no end. So if you want to go to heaven, Fran, do you want to go to heaven? I thought you did, okay? So place yourself under the wings of Raphael. Beg him to bring you and your family to heaven. You know, Raphael takes very seriously your prayers if you say them with faith. He doesn't have Alzheimer's. He doesn't. You know, angels have keen intellects. And Aquinas says, by praying to angels, they give us light. Students should always be praying to angels before tests. They give you light, a lot of light. The devil, darkness. The angels give us a lot of light. A lot of light. Second is this. How many parents here? Grandparents? Some of your children are not married yet. What's the most important decision in their life? Vocational, right? Vocational. So if your children or grandchildren are called to the married life, I hope half of them are called to the priesthood, I pray that. They're called to the married life. Saint Raphael is the patron of, how do you say noviazgo? Courtship? He's the patron of Christian courtships. How many young people, Raphael, send me the right person? I've never heard that before. They should, though. To make this connection, not based on lust, but based on love. True love. Then he's the patron of marriage. Because Sarah married Toby Jr. Marriages should be placed under the wings, if I can use that metaphorical sense. Marriages should be placed under the wings, under the angelic protection of Raphael. Amen? Move on. I had a spiritual director back at Villanova who just loved this angel. And he instilled in this in me in 1974. Incredible devotion to St. Raphael. And one of the things that we'd often pray over is, he's the patron of happy meetings. Never heard that one before, did you? Huh? Do you have to ever meet someone in which the meeting might be kind of difficult or tense?
Yes.
Ever? Yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes? Okay. Once a year, okay? Yeah. I think all of us sometimes have to meet people that we really don't want to meet, but we're obliged to, okay? We know people are going to be, they're going to be conflictual, they're going to be tough to meet. Why not, before you meet that person, invite the Archangel Raphael to be with you? Think he can help out? What do you think? He can arrange in such a way that he can prevent that person from saying something. He can give you certain lights, give him certain lights. If we only understood the angelic world. You know, this can help us to avoid a lot of desolation. And that's another patronage. He's the patron of friends. A friendship. Who did he befriend? Hello?
Tobiah.
Weren't they friends? Of course they were. So you're never alone. One of the articles that I wrote in my blog, as it seemed to touch a lot of people, is I wrote an article on the reality of the crushing loneliness of the modern life. Una soledad aplastante, you say in Spanish, right? Crushing loneliness. But if you understand this talk, you're really never alone. Do you believe it?
Yes.
You're never really alone because the angels are with you. And as Raphael accompanied Toby Jr., he can accompany you too if you want him to. He's also the patron of doctors because there was a healing there. But most specifically with Santa Lucia. Lucia in Italian. In Italian, luce, in Spanish, lucia, means light. She's a patron of eyes. Did you know that? But also, St. Raphael is a patron of eyesight, too. Can you tell me why? I just told you the story. Hello? Because he restored the sight of who? Toby Sr., right? He's the patron of eyesight. Let's go deeper into that. One of the biggest addictions today is using our eyes to look at bad things, right? Thanks to Hugh Hefner, huh? Really, huh? Remember one occasion, Father Jeremy was here visiting. Most of you know Father Jeremy, right? And he was reading, I've never gotten the habit of reading the part of the newspaper that he was reading the obituaries, no? I prefer to read the sports section, no? But he was reading the obituaries, and there was this Jewish woman who wrote the comics for Playboy. And listen to this. She died of cancer of the eyes. I never heard that before. It must be pretty rare. Do you think there was a connection between writing cartoons for Playboy and her getting cancer of the eyes? A week ago we celebrated Padre Pio, right? 23rd. It's a story in his life where this blind man comes to him. Padre Pio says, can I help you? I want to see. Padre Pio says, I can restore your sight through prayers. But if your sight is restored, you're going to lose your soul. You choose. He decided to remain blind the rest of his life so he'd be able to see God in heaven for all eternity. Padre Pio. Shouldn't we place our eyes under the protection of St. Raphael? What do you think?
Yes.
We'll be able to protect our eyes from moral evils. We utilize our eyes only to contemplate the beauty of God. The beauty of God. Not the ugliness of sin. Sad to say, sometimes we're attracted more to sin than to virtue. I'll give you two very strong biblical verses related to animals from the Old Testament. A dog returns to his vomit. Is that true? Yeah. And a sow, what that is? A pig wallows in his mire. So that's one of your favorite biblical passages, huh? In other words, the pull, the concupiscence towards sin can be very strong at times. I'm not saying overpowering, but almost overpowering if we don't rely upon God's grace. To ask St. Raphael to protect your eyes, to protect the eyes of your children and your grandchildren. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. He's the patron saint, also the patron saint of, are you ready, of joy. That's really important. Patron saint of joy. Because here you have two very sad situations, tragedies. And the whole book of Tobias ends with an overflowing effervescence of joy. Isn't that what we beg for in the spiritual exercise? Intensissimo gozo, most intense joy at the risen Lord. And last but not least, he's the patron saint of prayer. And two types of prayer. Praise and thanksgiving. Because there's a long chapter there where you have the prayer of St. Raphael. You have a long prayer of an angel. And it's just imbued with the most noble sentiments because they want to praise him. You say, hey, don't praise me. I'm just a creature. Praise and thank God. Very Ignatian. We're called to praise God. We're called to thank God. Now this is a group of people that come here because you want to persevere in your prayer life, right? Why don't you, starting tomorrow when you do the holy hour, ask the angels to be with you? To pray with you and pray for you. I promise you, your prayer life is going to upgrade. It's going to happen. It's going to be upgraded. We tend to be distracted, we start to wane and decline. Angels are always fervent, and we lose that pretty darn quickly, don't we? We lose fervor at the drop of a hat almost. These angels, they're fervent always. That's what's lacking in our prayer life, is fervor. The Sales calls it true devotion. Devotion is the same thing as fervor. So I really hope that you have this real, a real, do you believe in angels or not?
Yes.
Más o menos? Do you believe in angels?
Yes.
Do you believe in their power?
Yes.
Okay, one last point. Gabriel. Archangel Gabriel. You encounter him in three different parts in the Bible. Number one, you find him in the book of Daniel, one of the four major prophets. Second, you meet him. Let me test your biblical acumen here. What is the longest chapter in the New Testament? I'll tell you. Luke chapter 1, okay? 81 verses. You don't believe me? You're looking at me with jaundiced, cynical eyes, huh? 81 long verses. And one of the essential parts of the first chapter of Luke is the presence of the Archangel Gabriel. You don't believe me? Even before the Annunciation, the Archangel Gabriel appears to, guess who? Zacharias, who's the father of who? Very important encounter. And he strikes the old guy mute, doesn't he? Because he doubted. Angels can come in pretty strong at times. It's God that does it, but it was done through the Archangel Gabriel. You doubt it. You're not going to be able to speak. So listen, think before you speak. Amen?
Amen?
Think before you speak. How many of us have opened up our mouth when we should have kept it closed? We have a New York expression, see if I can give you a New Yorker. Open up mouth, insert foot. Never heard any Californians say that. We say that in New York, right and left. Open up mouth, insert foot. Meterse la pata, this in Spanish, huh? But even more important than that encounter, Luke 1, 26 to 38. What's that? The Annunciation. The Archangel Gabriel announces to Mary the most important news, announcement in the history of the whole world. So up until that point, that was the most important announcement in the history of humanity. And it was that he announced to Mary that she was going to be the mother of God. Can you tell me something more important than that? And Mary says yes. She says, gives her fiat. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be done to me according to thy word. In that moment, Mary, the Shekinah of the Bible, was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. She conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. But the Archangel Gabriel was instrumental in that most important moment in the history of the world. Now, this may surprise you. What is the formal theological name of that prayer we say 50 times when we pray the rosary? Hail Mary. Okay, any theologians here? Someone said it. Okay. Okay, technically, she said it. One out of 100 got it, okay? It is the angelic salutation. That's the technical name for it. We call it the Hail Mary. But it's the angelic salutation. Salutation would be greeting. Angelic would be given by the angel. Any of you pray the rosary today?
Yes.
Anyone prayed more than one? So did I. In half hour I'll be saying my third with the other priest. So every time we say the Hail Mary, the first part of the Hail Mary comes from the Archangel Gabriel. What an honor for that great angel. Every time it's said billions of times, every day of the year, Archangel Gabriel was the one that said those words. What an honor. Incredible honor. So I'd like to conclude with the title that Pope Paul VI gave the Archangel Gabriel. I'm sorry, blessed Pope Paul VI. Let's give him due honor, right? He's already blessed. Will you get one of my talks? Okay, he's a patron of modern communication, Pope Paul VI. What does that mean? Patron of the radio. Patron of television. Patron of the internet. Patron of music. Patron of the telephone with the internet. So the patron of modern communication is the Archangel Gabriel. Amen? Do you people communicate? We all communicate. Do you want to upgrade your communication? Do you want to improve? Place yourself under the patronage of the great Archangel Gabriel. And he will teach you how to speak. And I'm not talking about grammar. Okay, maybe improve your grammar too. No? But more than grammar, you want to be able to communicate the Word of God. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let's beg this great angel to give us the grace to preach the gospel, live the gospel, love the gospel, and die for the gospel. So I pray this night that all of you will return home filled with consolation because you have three new friends. They are the Archangel Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Amen. So let's say the prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel, and then we'll say a prayer to our guardian angel, so that these wonderful angels will be a walk with us and guide us on our way to heaven. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, humbly pray. And to you, the Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the divine power of God, cast in hell Satan, all evil spirits, roam through the world, seeking the wound of souls in me. Dear angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this night be at my side, to light and guide, to rule and guide in me. The Lord be with you. The intercession of Mary, the Queen of Angels, Michael, Raphael, and Gabriel, may God bless you with peace, joy, long life, and eternal life. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.